I'm not so sure I can make it my own, but an old preacher in Tennessee said to me on one occasion, this must have been 1970, 69 or 70, he took an interest in me and shared a bunch of his old notes with me. He'd gotten away from God for a period of about 12 years, and it so smote his heart that he had left the Lord and what God had purposed for him that he really tried to make up for it those last few years. And he asked me, he said, Tom, how do you interpret that verse where the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I said, well, I interpret it, fellow believers, worshipers going up to the temple are saying to David, come on and go with us. He said, I used to interpret it that way too. But he said, he was glad when they said unto him, let us. He said, do you think the they that said to him, let us, was the same one who said, let us make man in our own image? Or the same one who said, let us go down and confound their language? Well, I don't know that that is the truth set forth, but I do feel like that we are beckoned to come to worship by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these have been special hours today, and we're grateful for His kindness. I want to thank you personally for your prayers. I don't feel like I'm, as we'd say in the mountains, forgive this, but I don't feel like I'm up to snuff. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve. I remember when I didn't have a place to serve, and I would go down in the edge of the woods and ask the Lord, Lord, if you could just give me a Sunday night somewhere. I knew the preachers weren't going to let me have Sunday morning. And I'm so blessed to have all the opportunities I have. And I don't want to take it lightly. I don't want to take it for granted. So thank you for your prayers. And I would like to make it clear, I think I have the evidence that I was not trying to avoid what you fixed for supper tonight. I think I better wait another day before I take in some of those good greasy foods. I want you to be turning with me, please, to Genesis chapter 22. Brother Jason, I didn't know the boys were singing any harmony with you, and that just blessed me tonight. And anyone who knows anything about music, I don't know much, but these girls kept swapping out. One's playing the lead on one verse on the violin, and then she switches off, and another one plays the lead the next verse, and they're all three harmonizing. That's great. And I enjoyed it immensely. Next time the devil jumps on me, would y'all just come and play? Well, David played for Saul, didn't he? I hope I'm not a Saul, but I feel sometimes like a devil jumps on me. Sort of like a fella said about a preacher friend of mine. Said, ah, he's an Absalom. He's an Absalom. He got back to me. He said, Tom, he said he was an Absalom. I said, well, you tell him you can't have an Absalom unless you have a David, and they don't have a David. They got a Saul. But I've enjoyed all the good music. I know y'all will not take it lightly that you've been blessed the way you have. I left my water down there, Brother Jay. 1 minute I feel all right, and the next minute I feel woozy or dry or whatever it is. I can look and tell y'all are all dry. No, I'm kidding. I want to read two verses of Scripture tonight from this great chapter. I feel so inapt when I come to a portion of Scripture like this. I know I'm inapt in every section, but there's some chapters that are just so massive and so big, and this is one of them. Instead of reading the entire chapter, I'd like to read two verses, verse number 8 and verse number 14. Isaac has just questioned his father, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Notice the phrase, "God will provide." In verse number 14, after he had offered the ram up in the stead of Isaac, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I've been meditating and preaching some on some of the great compound names for God in the Old Testament. Particularly in these services, I've been drawn to the Jehovah titles. Last night, we looked at that self-revelation of God where He said to Moses and the people, after they had traveled 3 days wilderness, 3 days journey into the wilderness, the Lord said to them, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," or "I am Jehovah Rophe." I was taught that the two E's there, or the one E, is sounded like a double E. Some are pronouncing it like an A in our day, Rapha. Either way, the idea is the Lord is our healer. Our healer. Tonight, I'd like to take a few minutes and say some things about this title for God in Genesis 22, Jehovah Jireh. The idea in this great title is that the Lord will provide, or as is stated in verse 14, the Lord, He will see to it. You'll notice the interpretation is, as it is said, "To this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." I called my good friend Brother Larry Russell, who works for Wholesale Tape Supply. Actually, it's WTS Media now with no tapes. It's all CDs and DVDs. And I understand soon the CDs will be going out. I just got those started. But I called him and I said, "Brother Larry, I'm behind. I need some help. I need some tapes sent to this certain address." I gave him the motel address. I said, "I've brought my equipment and I'm just going to duplicate some of the tapes here in the room. Is it possible to send it overnight?" And Brother Larry said, "I'll see to it." I'll never forget that moment when he said that. "I'll see to it." It came to me, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, He will see to it. If you'd like to be a little more country in your interpretation of it, the Lord will see or look after it. Or if you really want to get country, take the F out of after and say the Lord will look after it. At any rate, the provision is not of man, but it's of God. The Lord, He will see to it. He will provide. Now, I'd like to make it clear. I don't think really this is necessary, but it sort of presses my thought. I am not Abraham. And I do not have a son by the name of Isaac. I do not live on a mountain in the land of Moriah. But my God is Jehovah Jireh. And I'd like to underline His great provisions tonight. Now, you're familiar with the story, so I'll not take any time running over it. God has demanded Abraham to offer his son. What an unbelievable shadow that must have brought over his heart. More than that, God has demanded that he offer his seed. This is the whole future of Abraham's lineage that's represented in Isaac. The promise that God gave Abraham covered the entire lineage of Abraham, the seed. And yet God is demanding that seed. More than that, God has demanded him offer his son, his seed, as a sacrifice. Not just a sacrifice, but a burnt offering. According to the law of the burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1, the offering, first of all, was to be slain. I believe Abraham was in that act when God stopped it. Then the sacrifice was to be skinned. Then it was to be dissected at its joints and its pieces. And then laid in order on the altar. From all indication, Abraham was prepared to go the whole route. The demand of grace sometimes is even more severe than the demands of law. Demands our obedience. In that light, in that he is to offer his son, take now thy son. And in that he is to offer his seed, he's called his only son. I thought he had another son by the name of Ishmael. He does, but he's not recognized as the seed. Isaac is representative of the seed. And he may be big in Abraham's eyes, but he's not big in God's eyes. And that he's to burn this offering. I want to say when he finds out that God will provide, Jehovah Jireh, firstly tonight, I want to say this is a big title for Abraham's predicament. Yes, sir. I've not been called upon to offer my only child. We have three daughters, as most of you know. And our youngest child, we have a daughter 35, and a daughter soon to be 31, and one who is 16. Going on 35, that's right. She's our surprise package. our special blessing. Don't believe any of this stuff, though, that people say about a child born a little late according to our time schedules. They say that child will help you stay young. That's a lie. Will not help you stay young. I feel like my tongue's lolled out all day long trying to keep up with her. But God has not demanded that I offer my child. But when she was 14 months of age, as many of you remember, God sort of put his hand on her life to get our attention. She was a joy, such a special joy, coming at that time in life. And then she fell over, helpless and limp, and we got her to the doctor, and they rushed us on to Baptist Hospital and didn't give us much encouragement about that large mass that they found in her body. They said later that it was taking up about 65 to 70% of her body cavity. She had learned to walk. She was always pudgy, which that explained. By the way, now she looks like that. I wish her daddy could somehow resolve to that same appearance. But they said that the way the thing had fit in her body cavity, you wouldn't have noticed it. And not even the doctors saw any malformation. At any rate, in my mind, she died that afternoon. I couldn't see children playing in a bedroom. I saw crepe on the door. I saw a grave, a fresh grave, out on the hillside. And it was as though she had died. And the Lord was gracious to leave her with us. And some of you helped carry that burden in prayer. And I do not take it lightly. The Lord raised her up in a measure. At least that's how I look at it. I didn't come to talk about my baby tonight, but if you would like for me to say more, I'll talk to you after the service. But can you imagine the predicament that Abraham found himself in? His only son, the seed that represents his future, and to offer him as a burnt offering with all of that on the dark background of this chapter. Isaac said, "Daddy, here's the fire and we've got the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham seemed to get light. And God gave him a big title for his predicament. He said, "Son, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." I don't know what your predicament is tonight. You may be in some rough situation. The scenery may not be so exciting. The valley may look deep. The clouds may look dark. But let me remind you, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will with the temptation give a way of escape. A big title. Somebody may need to try to embrace that tonight. A big title for Abraham's predicament. Then let me go a step farther. I believe this chapter is not just a Abrahamic scene. I personally think it is a messianic chapter. For on another hill, very similar to this one, very close to this one, some think this very hill, God was going to give up his only begotten son. Not just as a burnt offering, but as an offering for sin. The just for the unjust. that he might bring us to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think when Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself, he was giving a prophetic utterance. And so I would say that this title, Jehovah Jireh, is not only a big title for Abraham's predicament, but it's a blessed title for Abraham's prophecy. His prophecy is, God will provide himself. Not God will provide for himself, but God will provide himself. Yeah. Jesus said that he was glad when he saw my day, Abraham, that is. I believe he saw that day here. As he on spiritual tiptoes looks beyond this hour and contemplates another hour. Somebody said, well, where did God provide himself? In Christ. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down to the Jordan, and he said to his followers, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Of course, you understand the reason God would provide himself is he alone can please himself. He alone can satisfy himself. Somebody said, well, I wish the Lord Jesus, in fact, I heard a woman testify in a service where I was some time ago. She said, I'm so sorry Jesus had to die in my place. She said, I'm such a sinner. I hate that he had to die for me. And I thought to myself, hate it. That was God's only remedy for sin. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man also be lifted up. This is a blessed word for Abraham's prophecy. My son, it looked bad here, but out yonder in the future, God will provide himself. He'll wrap himself in human flesh and come into this world. I would say then, I believe Abraham is looking at a cradle in Bethlehem here. Though he's way back in this patriarchal period, he's looking to Bethlehem where the Lord Jesus came. God provided himself. I love that idea. You know, Bethlehem means the house of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he was born after his birth. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. A lot of the songs are wrong during the holidays. He was not born in the manger. His birth is crude enough. Well, you know, we don't want a manger underneath his legal mother, as she gives birth to the child. But she gave birth to the child, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and then laid him in the manger, which was the feeding trough. Now, I know many in our day got it mixed up. When you say manger, they think of manger scene. But the manger in the Bible was a feeding trough. And the bread of life was born in the house of bread and laid down in the feeding trough. It's like God said, I'm putting my bread down here. For anybody who's hungry, you come. You can have my bread. It's a blessed word, a blessed title for Abraham's prophecy. He's looking at a cradle in Bethlehem. May I add, he's looking at a cross on Calvary. Excuse me a moment. When he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, he's looking at Calvary. Just like Job was looking at Calvary when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Why would he call Jesus a Redeemer? Why didn't he call him something else? A Redeemer was someone who was close or next of kin. A Goel in the Old Testament. And he said, I know that my Goel liveth. Why would he dare say that? Because the day was coming when God would become next of kin, in that he would be born into this world and be draped in human flesh. And the Redeemer, of course, would pay the price to set the captives free. And the Lord Jesus came as our Goel to set us free from the bondage of sin. My son, God will provide himself. And as Jesus died on Calvary's cross, God himself was satisfied with what took place. He saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, Abraham, you've got the right word, brother. Jehovah Jireh. When we sing about the cross, when we hear sermons about the cross, when we meditate on the cross, why don't you just say after that, Jehovah Jireh? Because that's what happened on the cross. God provided himself. And in the Christmas season, when we talk about a baby lying in a manger, why don't you just say, Jehovah Jireh? For that's what happened. God provided himself in human flesh. May I add, when he said, my son, God will provide himself. And later when he said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, he will see to it. I believe he's not only looking at a cradle in Bethlehem and a cross on Calvary, but he's looking at a culmination in Zion. My son, God will provide himself, and in the end we'll all say Jehovah Jireh. We read the headlines now and we say, my soul, what's going to happen? We hear the evening news and we say, I wonder how all this is going to fit in. But I want to tell you, in that hour we'll look back and we'll say Jehovah Jireh. The Lord, he will see to it. We ought to say that now and save ourselves a little stress. Who would ever believe some of the political happenings that have developed in the last year and a half would have ever taken place? But they have. I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you what you better do. You better lay way back on Jehovah Jireh. For he's piecing it all together in his great plan. Before we go our way tonight, I'd like to press this home to our hearts. Jehovah Jireh. It's not only a big title for Abraham's predicament and a blessed title for Abraham's prophecy, but it's a bright title for Abraham's posterity. You see, we're called the little children of faith. We're called Abraham's children. Abraham's called our father through the faith principle. And so here's a word for us. It's given to our father Abraham. And we, the little children of faith in this world, can say in our situations, Jehovah Jireh. Now, let me just make three simple observations about this situation. First of all, Abraham could say Jehovah Jireh because God provided in the right territory or in the right place. God didn't bring a ram up another mountain, but he brought a ram up this mountain in the very place, in the territory in which he had commanded Abraham. By the way, You can cheer up. What a bright title this is for us as God's children of faith. God's not going to send somebody else your provision. He knows where Abraham is. He knows where you are. My daddy got the city fathers in Salute all mad at him. And to try to satisfy him, they named our street Hayes Drive. I give it in these motels and the little girls behind the desk say, oh, that sounds important. I said, yeah, thanks to my daddy. Hayes Drive. But UPS still can't find me half the time. And it seems that a lot of people get turned around. It used to be Patterson all the way up to my house. Now it's Patterson down to where it comes down to my daddy's, and it's Hayes Drive on up to my place. But I want to tell you, God doesn't have any trouble finding where I live. You've done this. I went online. Sounds like I'm really into it, doesn't it? I went online, and I looked up addresses and phone numbers. And they didn't even have my right address on that. I live at 250 Hayes Drive, and they had 237, I believe is what it was. I'm telling you, you may not know how to get to a certain place. I may not know exactly how to reach a certain place. But you can rest in this and cheer up in this. God knows where you are. And the ram caught in the thicket will be right where you are. May I add, it's a bright word not only because the provision came to the right territory, but the provision was given at the right time. I've preached for years that as Abraham and Isaac were coming up this side of the mountain, and they represent the need. They don't have a sacrifice. Abraham and Isaac coming up this side of the mountain, I believe the ram, forgive me for the play on word, I believe the ram was rambling up the other side of the mountain. And when the need reached its highest point, that's Isaac, Abraham and Isaac, then the supply was there to meet the need. God never supplies too early. He never provides too late. He always provides at the right point and the right time. Amen. What a bright truth. Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. Somebody said, well, I don't know why God hadn't provided. Maybe the need has not reached the highest point yet. But in due season, there'll be a ram caught in the thicket. Let me add, not only is this a bright word for the children of faith because God provides in the right territory, He knows where we are. At the right time, He's never behind and never ahead. But God provides the right type of provision. Abraham didn't need a dog. He didn't need a cat. He needed a sacrificial animal. And God provided a sacrificial animal for that occasion. Right type at the right time in the right territory. I'm talking to you about God providing for His people. No, I'm not Abraham, and I don't have a son by the name of Isaac, and I don't live on a mountain in the land of Moriah, but hallelujah, my God is Jehovah Jireh. And He provides right on time, in the right place, the right substance at that hour. God's people are blessed with divine provisions. I read an interesting story about a little boy in England. He heard the Salvation Army preacher preaching a little sermon down at the Salvation Army on God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And apparently he really played it out and went to the max with it, really impressed the little boy. Well, his daddy was out of work and his mama was sick. And so he brought it home. And he said to his daddy and to his mama, I heard the Salvation Army officer, the preacher, preaching on Jehovah Jireh. His mama said, you don't even know what that means. He said, I do. He said, he said the Lord will provide.
Yeah.
She said, well, that's right. But we're in bad shape. Yeah, mama, but you need to cry Jehovah Jireh because he's faithful to keep his promise. It's what the preacher said. Two or three days later, he came bounding down the street and he saw something shiny on the street. And he stooped down and dug around, and it was a shilling. He looked around to see if it was anybody's. Nobody was there. He put it in his pocket, and he said, well, I'm going to give it to Mama and Daddy. They need it. And so he went in, and he said to them, I found the shilling. His mama said, who gave you that? He said, Jehovah Jireh, Mama. Jehovah Jireh. I want to tell you, that's our God tonight. That's our God. May the Holy Ghost help us to be appreciative and grateful for his provisions. Dear mountain preacher who's now with the Lord, he got in a big high gear preaching and he ran out of words. And he just reached the summit, you know, sort of climbing, and got quiet, and he finally just said, what a God, what a Jesus, what a Holy Ghost. That's about where I am tonight. What a God, what a Jesus, what a Holy Ghost. My son, God will provide. The Lord, he will see to it. I wish some little child of faith tonight would take that home with you. Would you stand with me, please? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.